Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, January 26th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we're hitting the culinary road for a taste of Southern comfort food. Here to help steer us is Jasper Alexander, chef and co-owner of Hattie's Restaurant in Saratoga Springs, New York. Do you have a favorite Southern dish? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Jasper Alexander's here with the Southern comfort food. And oh, he whipped up something really amazing. Zach, the engineer, I've already tried it. We'll talk about it when we get back here. We'll start Food Friday. We'll take your calls at 800-348-2551. Jasper Alexander's here right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. This Food Friday, all about Southern comfort food, and in the studio, one of our favorite guests, Jasper Alexander. He is the chef and co-owner of Hattie's Restaurant, a Southern and soul food eatery in Saratoga Springs, a legendary joint. Jasper is a Culinary Institute of America grad. He also beat Bobby Flay in a chicken frying contest on national TV. He is the author of Hattie's Restaurant Cookbook, Classic Southern and Louisiana Recipes. If you want to talk to Chef Alexander, the number is 800-348-2551. That's 348. That's 800-348-2551. Jasper Alexander, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Always glad to share some time with you.
The last time you were on, and I think it was late summer, early fall, were going to do the National Fried Chicken Festival in New Orleans.
We were, and we did.
How'd it go?
It was great.
Yeah, what happened?
We had a fabulous time. My wife and I, we took a five-day road trip from here to New Orleans. We saw some family along the way, and then everybody flew down, the rest of the crew, about five other people, met us down there. We rented a house right outside the French Quarter.
And the whole crew?
Well, about eight of us total.
And so your staff was in the house with you? It was like the Grateful Dead.
Oh, yeah. It was like, you know, National Lampoon all over again. It was great. But the house is big enough to spread us all out. We each had our own little space, and we had a great time. I mean, you know, New Orleans is one of the most fabulous cities in the country. The food is great. The music is great. The booze is great. They take them all very seriously, and we exploited all that they had to offer, for sure.
Well, tell us about the Fried Chicken Festival and how you guys did.
So the Fried Chicken Festival was huge, and it was a big hit. They were hoping to have about 110,000 people over the couple of days that we were there. Almost 180 showed up over the 2 days.
Wow.
We were definitely the restaurant that traveled the furthest. You know, we were the only restaurant north of the Mason-Dixon line that went down there.
The only one?
The only one. Everybody else was from, like, Charleston South.
Were they all looking, kind of giving you the side eye?
Yeah, they gave us the Maloika for sure. They were wary of our northern chicken ways. But we won them over the course of the 2 days. People really, you know, the chicken was well received. Definitely the whole approach to fried chicken and you know, up here people are more purists. You know, they're not putting a whole lot of, some people want some honey on their fried chicken, but down there, you know, it was a lot about the sauces. People wanted, you know, anything from ketchup to hot sauce to spiced honey to ranch to, I mean, they were just dipping chicken and everything. And so that was an interesting, you know, learning experience.
Hypothetical. If somebody came into Hattie's and said, get me some ketchup for my fried chicken, would you throw them out?
No, absolutely.
It's
their dinner. You want to put ketchup on fried chicken? I'm all about it.
Would you do it?
I would not put it on
all
there.
All right.
But I'll put it on the side for you and let you do what you got to do.
All right, carry on.
You know, it was right on a park right along the water, just south of Café du Monde in Waldenburg Park, which is, you know, right in the center of things, right on the Mississippi River. And, you know, there was great music for the 2 days. There was just tons of people wandering around, you know, a lot of fried chicken lovers. It was hot, but not crazy hot. The people that put on the festival couldn't have been better. They were a great group to work with. And you know, they're putting on a great event, which I think will grow year after year. You know, I mean, we've definitely been invited back.
Well, that's great.
I'm not positive we can do it again. It was a big venture, and I need these things to kind of come in close to
break even. Well, you know, you write it off on the taxes, right?
Yeah. Well, I may need that. With the change in the tax code, we'll see. But we had a fabulous time. So, you know, whatever it cost, it was more than worth it.
And did you get nice compliments on the chicken?
Everybody loved the chicken.
Really?
And the you know, the judges after the fact, we, you know, it's sort of like, you know, hand grenades, and, you know, we almost. So the story goes, we almost won. You know,
yeah. How many people did they say that to, though?
Yeah, That I don't know. Yeah. But the judges, you know, came up afterwards, and there was a lot of them. There was about 20 judges, and I'd say about 10 or 12 of them came up and said, "You guys were very close. Your chicken's really good."
Well,
so
clearly, you know,
you know
what
that's that means a lot. You know, this is a fried chicken country down there. They've got a lot of, you know, a lot more experience, and you know, it's a lot more prevalent all around the area, and you know, every corner store is selling fried chicken. So it was great.
Did you pick up any tips, any little secrets when you were down there from the competition?
There was two stands down for us that their fryer almost went up in flames. So
that's fun.
You know, I reestablished my understanding that you don't want your fryer to catch on fire. You know, that's not a good thing, but it was smoking like crazy.
Oh,
and
boy.
You know, everybody was sort of standing at the ready with their fire extinguishers, and you know, it was a little bit more drama than we needed.
Oh, but that's pretty exciting.
But it was fun, and you know, I was super proud of the crew. You know, for something like that, logistically it's pretty complicated. We had to get in touch with vendors down there. We had to receive the, you know, almost a whole truck's worth of, I mean, it was like 55 cases of chicken, so you're talking 2,200 pounds of chicken, you know, roughly, and 30, 40 cases of coleslaw, and then we had to go to a commissary kitchen and get it all prepped. So logistically it was, and the commissary kitchen wasn't big enough, so we had to switch commissary kitchens, and, you know, everybody in the crew just, like, fell right into place. Nobody got rattled. We just sort of pressed through and got it done, and it was great.
How many vendors were at this?
There was 17 restaurants.
That's
a
lot of chicken.
Which is a lot of chicken, yeah. And, you know, you know, best just sort of straight ahead fried chicken, and then best use of fried chicken. So people were doing, you know, fried chicken mac and cheese and fried chicken sandwiches and, you know, things of that nature. You know, we really wanted to concentrate, especially our first one, on one thing and not overextend ourselves. You know, we had a blast. You know, we would definitely, all things being equal, we'd do it every year. And you know, I'm hoping that we can swing it again. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Chef Jasper Alexander is our guest today. We talk Southern cooking and fried chicken and all kinds of great stuff here today. 800-348-2551 if you want to give us a call. What the heck did you bring? That was one of the most delicious things I've ever had.
So we've got a couple of events coming up. We've got a beer week in Saratoga from the 20th to the 24th of February. And on the 19th is a kickoff event. We're doing a tap takeover with Schmaltz Brewery from Clifton Park.
Good stuff.
And yeah, very good brewery. And so we've been playing around in the kitchen with a bunch of different things. So today I brought a smoked pork spring roll. So we took some pork shoulder, which we smoked, and then we folded that in with some sweet potato and some caramelized onions. And I added a little kale and salt and pepper and some rosemary, and then we wrap that around in a spring roll wrapper, and we have a sort of a barbecue, sweet chili barbecue sauce that'll go with it, and then a beer crema that we'll put on the top of it to sort of reinforce the beer.
I had one before the show, and I almost cried. I swear to God.
We're all pretty pleased with it. We're going to run them as a special over the next couple of days. I have a pork shoulder we're going to run tonight, too, with some mustard spetzel and leek confit that was braised in the nut brown ale, the Schmaltz nut brown ale, and that turned out really well, too. So
that's a delicious beer.
Yeah, the nut brown ale is good. Yeah. It cooks down nicely. It's really rich, and it goes well with the mustard.
Well, what do you say? You want to take a call or two here?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get a couple in before the first break. Our number is 800-348-2551. Jasper Alexander, our guest, 800-348-2551. Steve in Glens Falls. Steve, you're first.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Ray, Chef Jasper, nice to talk with you.
Hi.
My understanding, though, is that ketchup with chicken, that's just a vegetable, right?
hang on. So he's got to turn his headphones up.
Question.
He can't hear you yet. Hang on. As far as ketchup being a vegetable, I think that was what one Ronald Reagan said that way back when, didn't he?
Yeah, well, okay. I'm older than 25.
Stand by, Steve. I got to play roadie here for a minute, Steve. Yeah, try those other headphones,
all right.
Jasper. We should really probably plan these things out prior to the show. You all set?
I'm good.
Okay,
I'm
so Steve has a question about. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm with you, Steve.
So, in a prior life, I loved going to Hattie's. Great food, still is. Haven't been there for a while. In my current life, my partner is gluten sensitive.
Okay.
So, I'm specifically wondering, does Hattie's use gluten-free materials for their fried chicken?
So, I have a great answer for you. So downtown at the restaurant, we only have two fryers, and it's impossible to keep those fryers segregated from any sort of gluten products or products that have gluten in them, flour being obviously the biggest offender. But at Wilton, we do, which is at the Route 50 Plaza in Wilton, 33057 Route 50, we do have a fryer that we keep totally separate.
Oh, cool.
And we do gluten-free chicken there. It took me a couple years to sort it out because those gluten-free flours really respond differently than normal flour. especially in a frying application, they'd sort of just jump off the product. So I had to work with a couple of different kinds of flours before I found something that not only held onto the product, but also didn't, you know, had the right crumb texture.
And have you succeeded?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we've had it on the menu for probably 2 years, maybe 3 years.
And that's in Wilton.
And it's in Wilton. And, you know, and it goes great. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it has to be a lot more expensive because the flour, that gluten-free flour, is really pricey, like $100 a bag pricey.
Yeah.
But we've solved the riddle.
Learn about this, though. There's gluten in sauces and things like that, too. Is that also gluten-free?
Well, for the sauces on the chicken, we don't... I mean, you're certainly more than welcome to add a sauce to the chicken. We don't put a sauce on the chicken, you know, just out of the gate. So, you know, not
Beautiful.
All of the sauces would be gluten-free, but the chicken we can help you with. And obviously, if you ordered fries or things like that, we could do fries in that gluten-free
Sure.
fryer
Oh, that's cool.
as well, so that you know, wouldn't be cross-contaminated.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
thanks a lot.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Well, gluten-free. Who
gluten
knew?
Free.
And that's in Wilton.
It took a while. In Wilton, yeah.
How do we find out more about... You guys got a website, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Hattie's Chicken Shacks is the website for the Chicken Shack, and then hattiesrestaurant.com is the main restaurant.
Chef Jasper Alexander is our guest. It's Food Friday, and we have chicken, and we got all kinds of good stuff to talk about here. We'll take more of your calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Big Y, family-owned and operated market, with 5 locations in the Berkshires, celebrating more than 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, offering design-build services that feature passive solar and energy-efficient designs, supporting the local economy using local materials. Prefabricated house kits also available. Noble-Home.net. And Big Elm Brewing, tap room open Thursday through Saturdays, noon to 6 p.m., crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you on a Food Friday, and Jasper Alexander is with us from Hattie's Restaurant, and we'll get back to the phones in a moment at 800-348-2551. You said Mardi Gras coming up.
Mardi Gras, yeah. So we sort of do a double take on Mardi Gras. We have our Mardi Gras charity event every year that's usually in the first couple of weeks of January, and every year we pick a local charity that we donate the proceeds from.
Oh, that's nice.
This year it was AIM Services that does great work with Medicaid and Medicare and sort of making sure that you have the right services for your special needs, you know, person in your life. And we raised almost $94,000 for them, you know, in one night.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was great to be able to do it. It's a worthy organization. And then for the real Fat Tuesday, we do, which is on the 13th of February this year, day before Valentine's Day, we do a Hattie's party at Hattie's. I've got Peter Davis coming in with a couple of musicians doing like sort of street style New Orleans music.
Oh, beautiful.
Like second line kind of stuff. So it's going to be small, but, you know, we're going to have a banjo, tuba, probably a trombone player and maybe a drummer.
Okay. Oh, you said a banjo?
Banjo.
Okay. And, well, good luck.
Yeah. And then we're going to have heavy hors d'oeuvres, you know, about half vegetarian and half non-vegetarian, and a drink ticket, free hurricane, and it's going to be a great party. And, you know, you want to call ahead and book it in advance because it probably will fill up, I'm guessing, and that should be a great time. You know, the party will go till the party ends.
Quick question. What do you say to a banjo player wearing a suit?
I don't know.
Will the defendant please rise? All right. This one came in via email, and then back to the phones we go. Please ask Jasper about grits and red eye gravy. Where is red eye sourced? Where different can grits be incorporated into more standard diet? Oh, I think the syntax here. Where can grits be incorporated into our standard diet. Being a seafood guy, I'm thinking a stuffing for a whole fish. And that's from Adrian in New Paltz.
Okay. So, I mean, I love grits. Grits, I think grits are a suitable addition to almost any meal.
You know
what I mean? I mean, they're great for breakfast, obviously, where they're probably more traditionally known. We serve them a lot at dinner as well. They're great, especially under braised things, like if you do a braised pork shoulder or a pot roast or short ribs or something like that. They're great. You know, for people that are familiar with polenta, I mean, they're not the same thing. I think we've discussed this before, but they're close enough that for usage purposes, anywhere where you might want to have polenta, you could substitute grits.
Sure.
As far as stuffing a fish with them, certainly would be possible. You'd want to make sure that you make them a little bit stiffer. You might want to let them cool down first or even overnight and then pack them back into the cavity of the fish that you're going to cook and that way so that they hold up a little bit. You know, might be better as a underlayment to the finished product fish rather than trying to stuff them in.
Oh, that makes it easier,
but,
too.
It might make it a little bit easier. Yeah, grits are super versatile. I mean, it's cracked corn, so, I mean, you know, you can use it for almost anything. You know?
Now, the red-eye gravy, this has come up before.
Red-eye gravy.
And I've looked into this, and mm-hmm. I really want to have some.
It's easy enough. I mean, it's ham drippings and made with a little bit of coffee. I mean, that's all there is to it. So it's very watery. It's not thick at all. Has almost no viscosity to it. But it's really salty and has a really nice sort of smoked ham flavor. And the coffee sort of gives it a little subtle richness underneath. And it's delicious. It's great. It's great over grits.
And you know what, though? Maybe some ham drippings right in my coffee in the morning.
Oh, that's not wrong with that.
Delicious.
Ham drippings are, you know, line me up.
All right. Our guest is Jasper Alexander. Back to the phones we go. And Greg in Goshen. Greg, you're on.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
We love fried chicken. I would cook it more often at home, but I never know what to do with the oil when we're done with it.
So that's one of the, in my book, I talk about frying at home at great length because, you know, it's something that takes a little bit more commitment than a lot of people want to put into it, and that is one of the things to deal with it that you have to deal with. So, how do you typically fry it at home? Do you have a fryer? Do you use a Dutch oven, or do you have just a big pot?
Yeah, we got one of those cast iron Dutch ovens.
Okay, so the best thing to do is once the oil is cool, so you know, go carefully, either leave it on top of the stove overnight or we'll put it in the garage or somewhere where you're not handling it when it's hot because that's just not worth the risk. Then strain it and put it in a container and seal it up and put it in the refrigerator. And it will last quite a while. As long as you get all the food particles out of it. And obviously, there depends somewhat on what you're frying in there. Certainly, chicken isn't that big of a deal. Things that would leave, you know, lots of fish and battered things tend to degradate the oil a little bit faster than other things. But if you strain it, get all the food particles out of it, put it in the fridge and wrap it up, you could keep it for a couple of months, you know, pretty safely. You don't want to let it sit out at room temp, though, because it will go rancid after a while. And even that takes a little while. But then, you know, if you take it out and you warm it up and it smells a little funky or doesn't taste quite right, you know, take a little taste of it. Just, you know, dip your finger in it and give it a taste. If it tastes kind of funky, then it's time to pitch it.
All right, great. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Greg. We appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, and Jasper Alexander is here. We talk Southern cooking, or as they say in the newsroom, Southern.
Southern.
Yeah, which I think is very interesting. Let's irritate our Southern listeners and talk about pecan pie. Kristen in Albany. Kristen, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Hi,
that's
good.
Funny. It's funny you introduced it like that. I was born and raised in East Tennessee, and down there we eat pecans like God intended, which is baked into a pie.
Yeah.
And I moved up here, and I keep hearing people pronounce it pecan pie.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And you're the Southern food expert.
It happens a lot.
It's a Northern thing. Yeah.
It annoys Jasper
to
no end.
We can lay to rest that it's pronounced pecan pie,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got to draw out the A a little bit. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Give me some of that
one
pecan.
More question. Have you ever heard of Derby pie?
Derby pie, I haven't.
That sounds familiar.
Is it a Kentucky Derby sort of thing? Or?
It is. It's a Kentucky thing. It is pecan pie with chocolate chips and bourbon. And if you've never had it, I suggest trying it.
I've had it.
Bourbon,
it's good.
Bourbon and chocolate help just about everything. So, you know, I can't see how it hurt a pecan pie.
Well, thank you for that, Kristen.
Yep.
Have a great weekend. Appreciate the call. And over to Elroy and Rhinebeck. You're on.
Yes, the lady brought something up about pecan. There used to be a Jewish actress on Broadway, Molly Pecan, but it was pronounced Molly Pecan. But at any rate, that's not why I called.
Oh, boy.
Now, listen, I take the grease from my chicken. Late at night, I pour it on my neighbor's patio. He never sees it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But more than that, the thing that gets my goat, gentlemen, is when you shop, you're shopping at Stop and Shop or Tops, and you're parking your car in the parking lot, and they don't bring the shopping baskets back.
Yes.
They leave it in the parking lot.
Yes.
The wind blows it. It knocks a hole in your front, in your fender.
Mm.
Costs you $900 to take the ding out of your fender.
Yes.
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Well, Elroy, it's been a long time since you've called. We really appreciate it. He always brings something to the table.
He does. The shopping cart, we got to see if we can work out the used grease and the shopping cart, and maybe we can solve the problem.
It's one of my favorite callers. It's been a long time. Our number is 800-348-2551. And let's see if Cecilia in Pittsfield is ready to pitch in. Cecilia, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to call in because it's funny. The caller talked about gluten sensitivity. I have celiac as well. So I actually wanted to ask you your method for getting the flowers. Like you had mentioned, you can't get stuff to stick sometimes.
Right.
You know, I'm an amateur, and I bake mine, you know, quote-unquote fried chicken. I bake it more like tenders just because it's easier to get it to stick, but do you have like a secret or like a type of flour that you find works best for you?
So I use a combination of two gluten-free flours, and what I found, I mean, a lot of them have sort of the same things in them. There's a lot of rice flour and xanthan gum and flour and things like that. And so, and I don't, unfortunately, remember the exact percentages of everything that these two flours have in them, but the combination of the two had just enough properties to give me what I was looking for, which is, you know, the right crumb texture, because, you know, that it, you know, I don't want just the chicken to have this sort of very light coating of flour almost just to dry it out. You know, I want it to have that same sort of crumb that builds up with regular flour with gluten in it. And the combination of these two, which I'm sure if you wanted to email me, you know, I could get the brands for them and give them to you if you want to, you know, email me.
How could people get in touch with you?
It's just jasper@hattiesrestaurant.com.
Jasper@hatties, and that's spelled H-A-T-T-I-E-S.
Correct.
Restaurant.com.
No punctuation, no nothing. And I'd be happy to get you the information.
You got that, Cecilia?
Yep. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for calling. Our number here on Food Friday is 800-348-2551. Go to Emily in Plainfield, Mass. Emily, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to add to the discussion. I just watched a really fun movie that features food and cooking, but especially Southern food. It's called Chef.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of about this chef from a fancy restaurant in L.A. who gets deposed and ends up taking a road trip from Miami back to L.A., and they start in Miami in a food truck making Cubanos, and then they go to New Orleans, and it's beignets and poor boys, and then they go to Austin, and part of it is filmed at a famous barbecue joint, I think called Jackson's, and they have slow-cooked brisket. So it's just a really delightful movie, and it's all about Southern food.
It is a great movie.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great movie.
And it celebrates chefs too.
Yeah.
So
and it's
throwing
pretty,
that
pretty
into
good,
the conversation.
Pretty good picture. I mean, I spent a lot of years in that super high end world, and you know, I can commiserate with the attitude of the chef and just sort of wanting to throw up his hands and say, for, in some ways, I mean, that's what I did when I came out here from Seattle, and my wife and I bought Hattie's. I mean, it was a big career course change for me. Because
so
I
what
was,
you're saying is this is the area where high-test careers go to die?
No, it's where careers come to bloom.
Ah.
Just in soil you didn't expect it.
Ah, Emily, thanks for the call. Jasper Alexander is our guest. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, the number. Gabriel in Amherst, you're on.
Yeah, I grew up in North Carolina, and we always drew a pretty clear line between pecans and pecans. Pecans you bought for $12.99 in a shrink-wrap bag or in a shrink-wrap package at the grocery store, and pecans you picked up under your neighbor's tree.
I like it. That's as good a distinction I've ever heard.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway.
Thanks, man.
Hope that helped.
Thanks
Thank
a lot
you very
for the
much.
Call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you want to talk, well, fried chicken, for one thing, with Jasper Alexander is an art form. And I see, no one's, I see a couple of people
We've had a few birds come in and nip at the chicken.
My gosh, that is a huge. Now, tell us about your method here. This is one of the, I got to be honest with you, and this is no hyperbole. I never eat fried chicken
except your fried chicken.
Well, I should hope not.
That's, it's really good stuff.
I mean, every time I walk down here, there's a fried chicken selling guy selling fried chicken on the corner, 100 feet up from the store. So,
well, what have you learned, and why is yours so good?
I mean, the reason it's so good is I mean, honestly, and it's going to sound sort of hokey, but it's the love we put into it. It's the fact that we have...
That does sound a little hokey.
It does. But I've had the same crew virtually the entire time I've been there, and a couple of people in particular, Mike, and I mean, really everybody. I think the newest person on my kitchen staff is like 4 or 5 years at the oldest.
Yeah. But I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
True,
I mean, you got to have a recipe, right?
Well, there's a recipe. And it's, but you know, and more than the recipe, and the recipe's in the book, but fried chicken's one of those things, like biscuits and a few other things, that really... The art comes in years of making fried chicken and doing it over and over and over again. And, you know, we fry, you know, on a slow day, we're frying, you know, 50 pounds. And on a heavy day, we're frying 500 pounds.
Really?
So it's something that we've done so long. And the, you know, the way we sort of season the chicken and sort of let it sit in the water with the seasoning, and the way we bring in the chicken over with that water into the flour and roll it around in there, and you know you get a feel for the look and how much flour is too much flour and how much water is too much and not enough, and you just sort of suss it out over time.
So the recipe you have in your book, Hattie's Restaurant Cookbook,
mm-hmm.
is the exact recipe you use?
It is.
Spices and all.
Spices and
all. No secrets.
No secrets.
Why?
That's a good. I think. I mean, one, food's for the people. So I don't think you know there's anything to be won by being so proprietary and secretive like that. Two, I could give that fried chicken recipe to 10 different people, and I'm going to get 10 different things.
Yeah,
so,
maybe I'll try making it.
Yes, and absolutely, and I welcome you too.
Oh, really? Because my house will burn down. that would not be a good thing.
No, let's not get Ray homeless.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Whoops, wrong button there. You dope. Gregory in Kingston. Gregory, you're on.
Yeah, hey, I don't eat fried chicken, and I've never made it. Do you use eggs when you make it?
No. No, we do
not. That batter? Okay, well, I thought maybe you did, and I had a suggestion for your gluten-free, because I bake cookies for myself.
Oh,
and
sure, sure.
I substitute eggs for with chia seeds and flax seeds.
Yep.
And I thought maybe that could work in a batter for your gluten-free, maybe.
Well, yeah, I thought about trying it with eggs. There's a lot of batters, you know, I've obviously researched a lot of different ways that other people do fried chicken, and an egg would have been a logical choice to allow that gluten-free flour to stick a little bit better to the chicken.
Exactly.
But I wanted to keep it as close to the original. I really didn't want to give up on the original method that we do, which has no buttermilk. It's just water. It's water and seasonings. I mean, so I really didn't want to stray too far from that if I could help it.
Yeah, if you take those flax seeds and you grind them up, it's like it is flour, and
right.
And it does have an adhesive power. Okay. All right, that's it.
Hey man, thanks a lot for the call,
you.
Gregory. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. It's Food Friday. Chef Jasper Alexander is here, and our number is 800-348-2551. Diane in Northampton. Diane, you're on.
Hi. I hope I'm not being redundant, but whenever I fry chicken, it doesn't brown up properly, or I burn it on top of the stove. Is there, I don't know what method to use, and what kind of oil is the best to fry chicken in?
So, first off, what do you have? Not that it matters, so there's no right answer, but do you have an electric or a gas stove?
Electric.
And what sort of vessel are you using to do your frying in?
A cast iron frying pan.
Okay, so you're off to a great start. So it's like maybe an inch or two high as opposed to say, like a Dutch oven. So switching to a Dutch oven where you can get more oil and more volume of oil will even out your results a little bit. One, it's just easier to keep control of the temperature when you have a larger volume of oil. And you need to make sure that you're not putting too much chicken in at once. Those two things would help. As far as the oil goes, you know, you can fry anything in anything. So, I mean, there's not, for the purposes that you're doing, you know, for my purposes, when I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of pounds and gallons of oil, makes a little bit more of a difference. But for you, you know, any sort of vegetable oil work, I use a mixture of corn and canola oil, you know, but people have been frying it in bacon fat and lard, you know, for years. I mean,
you had me at bacon fat.
Yeah. So, I mean, any sort of oil will work. And that larger volume oil will really help the temperature regulation, which is probably where you're going astray a little bit. It's probably going, especially if your electric oven is, or your stove is cycling on and off, it may be getting too hot and then too cold and then too hot and then cooling down too much. So
exactly. And what is a simple coating? How do you get the breadcrumbs to stick to the chicken?
So either you want to use, you need some sort of liquid medium to sort of have the flour to attach to.
You use water?
We use water.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Buttermilk is obviously the most well-known thing. Buttermilk works just fine. I think it's a little thick for doing it in the kind of mass volume that we do, and I think that it sort of makes too thick of a coating. There was a lot of people that would disagree with me.
What's the trick about using water? It must not be as easy as buttermilk.
Well, it just makes a lighter. I mean, people say one of the comments we get, you know, most about our chicken is it's so light and it's not greasy. And how do you? This is the lightest fried chicken I've ever had. And part of that's the using water and not the buttermilk, because it just makes a really fine light crumb.
But any special technique that Diane would need to use?
You just want to make sure that your chicken is coated in enough of the liquid, be it an egg wash or buttermilk or water, that when you carry that chicken over to the flour and you roll it around in the flour, that you've got, you know, that it's sticking a little bit and covering all the, you know, you want to roll around that flour until it's really well covered, and then knock that excess flour off before you put it in the oil too, because that will burn. You know, if you don't knock off the excess flour, it will fall into the bottom of the pan and burn.
Okay, so you don't use breadcrumbs.
No, use flour. Yep.
I'll be darned. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Diane, thanks for the call. Chef Jasper Alexander is our guest from Hattie's Restaurant, and we'll talk more about fried chicken and Southern cooking, or Southern, depending on how you pronounce it, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Lathrop Communities, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition, together transforming the experience of aging. Lathrop.kendall.org. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and fresh food vendors every week all winter long. Open every Saturday, 9 to 2 in the Troy Atrium, troymarket.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free. Handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff here with you, and joined today by Chef Jasper Alexander. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. I think the last time you were here, it was the tail end of the track season, and you were exhausted.
Yeah,
does it take to recuperate?
You know, I didn't have a break until we got back. Right after we got back from New Orleans, we had our sort of final little run of caterings and weddings and things like that, so I went straight to like November.
Okay, you look a little more relaxed then.
Yeah, in November I did nothing for a couple of weeks.
And then late spring it ramps up again?
And then this February, just the way it's falling is crazy. I was looking at my schedule in the next couple of weeks, and between caterings and beer weeks and going away for a couple little quick ski trips here to keep my head straight, February is going to be kind of crazy.
That's good, man.
So
good.
I'll take it.
It's good to be too busy rather than too sort of.
It's a fact.
You know,
it's a fact.
Let's
get in trouble when you have too much time.
Let's go to the phone. Oh, let's do one quick email. This is from Mark. Southern food, chicken and waffles. What is this craze down south for combining fried chicken with waffles? Have you tried this? Are they really good together?
They are. We have it on our brunch menu.
Really?
So it is. And you know, we were talking about this earlier. Southern food is like the hottest thing going right now. And fried chicken and waffles is definitely sort of a marquee, you know, dish that people are sort of focusing on. They are really great together. You know, we're gonna do it on this beer menu as well. We're gonna do a little sort of spicy maple and honey beer sauce over the chicken and with the waffle.
Okay, so talk me through this dish. I'm trying to visualize it. You got a piece of fried chicken, say a drumstick, and then a waffle. How does that go together?
It's as simple as that. So you've got the waffle, and then you put the fried chicken right on top of it, and we give, you know, a side of maple syrup with it, and let people go nuts. And, you know, it's a waffle's sort of a starch, just like anything else. So it's an open faced sandwich with a waffle instead of toast. You know,
but this is a boneless piece of chicken.
No. It's bone in.
See, now it would be much better if you had chunks of boneless chicken deep fried on top of the waffle with some savory bourbon sauce or something.
Sandwich, but you got it. I mean, with fried chicken, you got to have the bone. I mean, the bone's key.
But I mean, why have a waffle? It doesn't make any sense to me. I know I'm from the north. I don't get it. Let's go back to the phones. Elizabeth in Greenfield Center. Elizabeth, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And, Jasper, I just wanted to tell you that I saw you once sweeping up the stall at the track. Not the stall, as it were, but your place. And
yeah.
I was so greatly impressed that you were there after all the glamour was gone. And I just wanted to give you a little hats off.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Keeps the overhead down.
Yeah, it keeps the overhead down. Yeah, I am not afraid of hard work. I mean, I'm not, you know, working quite as crazy as I have in the past, but there are times when it is absolutely unavoidable, and that's like from like say June to October where I still put in heavy and you know I don't mind a hard day's work. So that was me out there cleaning up the set, and I was painting it in June as well to you know just making sure you know that our stand looks good at the track. So
I have one quick question.
Yes.
How much am I romanticizing the likeness of your recipe to Hattie's? Because I actually remember Hattie and her husband from when I was a child.
Wow,
and by the way,
great.
the screen door still sounds the same.
The screen door
is pretty much as part.
Yeah, the screen door is the same, and I can't tell you. It's funny you should mention that because I can't tell you how many I've had that screen door totally rebuilt probably four times in the last 18 years that I've owned Hattie's. And every time I take it to somebody, I try to find somebody that's, you know, a craftsman that will understand the value of this door, and they look at me like I'm nuts. And they're just like I can build you a brand new screen door for half the cost it's going to cost me to fix it. And I said, yeah, but it's got to be that door.
Oh, that's
and, like,
great.
And they look at me like I'm nuts, but that is the same door that's been there since 1968. So
right
it
on.
Is the original door. And thank you. I mean,
how about the recipe?
So the recipe, I mean, I was lucky enough, you know, unlucky enough in some ways that I didn't get to meet Hattie ever. And that I feel, you know, too bad. You know, I feel that's unfortunate, but there's obviously nothing I could have done about that. She had passed away by the time I came onto the scene. My wife worked at the restaurant after she sold it to the people that we bought it from, but before we bought it, and she had met her a couple of times, but some of the employees that worked with her for many, many years were with me for many years in the first few years that we bought it. And so I feel like there was a real connection between, you know, what she did and what we were doing. And, you know, we really haven't changed it much. I mean, we redid the kitchen. We've bought I even still have her original fryer that was in the restaurant when we bought it that's out in front as a planter. You know, we've just salvaged it. And that fryer's probably fried, you know, a million pounds of chicken, I would say, you know, over the years. I mean, it was in use. You know, we took it apart. It was in use from 1968 until probably 2003 or 4.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
You know, it was the only fryer in there when I bought the place. And so, you know, I think there was some continuity between her time and now. So thank you for the compliment, though. It means a lot when people that have been eating the chicken that long say that it tastes the same.
And your book, as I recall, it's been a while since I've leafed through it, but it has quite a bit of historical information and some pictures. It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to overstep my place. So,
right.
I mean, we're certainly, you know, the current owners and have been for a while, and we've owned it longer than anybody else except for Hattie at this point, and by more than double. But, you know, I'm not a historian, so I didn't want to presume that I knew Hattie or make any assumptions thereof.
Right.
So I gave the story as I've known it and been able to piece it together. And then, you know, we filled it with a lot of stories about us and sort of why certain dishes came to be and how they came to be.
It's a nice nod to tradition, though.
Yeah. I wanted to give reference, but I didn't want to present myself as being the keeper of the story, you know.
Chef Jasper Alexander is our guest today. The book, by the way, is Hattie's Restaurant Cookbook, Classic Southern and Louisiana Recipes. And before we get back to the phones, at 800-348-2551, this one came in from Holly via email. Any potential of doing a vegan fried chicken using seitan?
I have not tried. I think I've had seitan before many times, and I like it. I have not done it. I don't know if it'd be the right fit for Hattie's. It certainly could be done, though, and you could treat, you know, the seitan is a really nice protein, you know, meat substitute. So you could definitely apply the same process to seitan and probably come up with a pretty good result.
Honestly. Rick Orlando's big on that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Vinny in Utica. Vinny, how are things in Utica?
Hi, it's Denise.
Oh, it says Vinny. You don't sound like a Vinny. All right, Denise, you're on.
Nope.
How you doing?
Yes, my question is, I grew up with parents that fried chicken all the time, uh-huh. whether pan-fried, whether deep-fryer, and the one complaint I have about that is wherever we went, we smelled like chicken, like fried chicken, in our coats, in our homes. Is it the method, the oil? I mean, is there something you can do to cut down on that?
It's probably a ventilation thing. I mean, so a lot of stoves have a hood above them. Some of those hoods, you know, if your stove has a microwave above it, say, or a very shallow hood, chances are it doesn't actually take the vent. It doesn't go to a vent. It doesn't go up and out. So it's really just taking it from the stove and then spitting it out above the stove after it goes through a filter. So that's really probably the issue is that the vent that was above the stove didn't actually go to the outside and remove the vapor and the odor. Because I go home smelling like chicken, but you know, we're talking about, you know, hundreds of pounds of chicken. Your wife smells like chicken too, so you
cancel out. It's fine.
That's right. We've just accepted it.
Exactly.
Sure. I just always wondered if it was just the method or the oil, you know, oil versus the good oil.
No, when you're frying something, I mean, it definitely sends off a lot of vapor, so more so than when you saute something or poach something, certainly, or, you know, if you can, it's more probably in terms of the volume of smelly vapors that come up. It's probably more like a grill than like sauteing something, so it's really just about getting that stuff out of the house.
Sure.
Hey, Vinny. Okay. Hey, Denise, thank you for calling. You know, from now on when you call, we're going to call you Vinny. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Jasper Alexander is our guest. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. The call screener is just saying, hey, you know, she sounded like a Vinny, right? Tell us about oil. Now, you go through how much oil in a given week?
So, I mean, it really depends on volume, and so there's no clear line of, you know, when the oil. It's not like in 2 days it's shot. So you've got to judge that. But at any given time, I mean, they come in. We buy oil in what's they call it a 35-pound jug, and it's probably about 5 gallons, give or take. And I have probably at the downtown store, each of our fryers holds 3 of those, so each fryer holds almost 100 pounds of oil, which is much bigger than your average fryer. And I have enough to swap them out usually twice at any given time, just in case we have an issue. You know, I mean, we change the oil, you know, like I said, it totally varies on volume, but anywhere from, you know, a couple of days to 3 or 4 days, you know, we can kill a brand new oil in a day too if we're really busy. So
what do you do with the old stuff?
We recycle it.
Somebody
picks it up and they take it away, and we get, you know, that was a great turn of events in the restaurant business where, I mean, you used to have to pay to have that stuff hauled away, and thanks to people in their old Mercedes diesels and their Volkswagen diesels, now people are wanting to buy it, and you know, most of it, I hate to say it, goes to the cosmetics industry, but a good chunk of it gets, you know, filtered and boosted up and put into cars.
Have you ever thought about converting your car?
I have. The thing that's really, because I have a thing for older, especially older Mercedes, I really like. I've been looking on the hunt for an old diesel Mercedes and have had a few in my sights before. The problem is I live about 5 blocks from the restaurant. So with most of those grease cars, you either need to start them on diesel and then flip them over once everything's warm, especially in the wintertime, or just start them up. And with my commute, the cost that I would have and the mess I would have to buy the car, get it up and running, do the filtering of the oil in my garage, which my wife would not be too happy with, and then to drive the 5 blocks, it's just not worth it.
I don't know.
If I get a little bit further of a commute, maybe, and there's I do a lot of skiing in the wintertime, and there's somebody that, and I mostly up at Gore, And there's a guy that's also at Gore quite a bit that has this old Mercedes diesel station wagon. And every time I walk by it, I'm very envious.
The guy who was on yesterday is a Mercedes expert, Gordon Fricke.
Yep, yep.
When you're ready for
I listened to his show.
He'll probably help you convert the thing.
Yeah.
If you give him a couple pieces of chicken.
That's true. That's true. I could use the help. I would love to. I mean, it's been, and I have this, you know, pipe dream of taking a bus and sort of, you know, it's going to be for the rollout of the national Hattie's fried chicken.
You really want to do this, don't you?
I would love to do a cross country tour in a bus that's powered by the old grease and do a festival tour and power the thing with the grease that we expel from frying the chicken.
I would like to be the embedded reporter on that.
I mean, I think it would be a blast.
Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Sharon in Guilderland. Sharon, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've never had the pleasure of eating at Hattie's. When I've gone up there, it was closed. But I have a question. My husband fries a mean fried chicken, and he always puts butter in the vegetable oil.
Sure.
Is that something you guys do?
It's not something we do. The fats and the milk solids, well, not really the fat so much, more the milk solids in that butter would break down, and they would cause the oil to break down faster when you're trying to do volume fried chicken. But you know, I'm a huge fan of butter, so I would definitely not say that throwing a pat or two of butter in your oil when you're frying chicken is a bad thing.
Now, do you use corn oil, peanut oil? What kind of oil do you use?
We use a mixture of corn and canola. Corn and canola. And corn oil has a little bit higher smoking point and is a very sturdy oil.
Is that a common oil to use?
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's blends out there that have mixture of corn and canola. I mean, and that's what we get in. This is something that comes
pre-blended.
But I mean, corn oil is a great oil and sort of overlooked, you know, these days with all the canolas and safflowers and so on.
Yeah.
But it's a great oil.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sharon, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. And Jasper Alexander, in the remaining minutes, let's talk about what's coming up for you at Hattie's.
So we just had our big Mardi Gras thing, as I mentioned. We've got our other Mardi Gras on the 13th. We've got a beer dinner coming up with Schmaltz Brewery.
Stop just a minute. Now, the first Mardi Gras is done.
The first one was at the Saratoga Casino. That's the one we do for charity in town. That's a big benefit.
Right.
The second one is just a Mardi Gras. Come and get your freak on before Ash Wednesday and enjoy yourself.
So right at Hattie's.
Right at Hattie's.
Fantastic.
And we're going to have a great band, great appetizers, hurricanes flowing, and it'll be a good time.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. And then Beer Week is a couple weeks behind that. That's the end of February.
Now, I've not heard of Beer Week.
Beer Week is I don't know how many years exactly. I'd like to say 5 or 6. It's been going on for a while.
I don't get out much.
Very popular. I mean, I know you're into your beer, so they and so we're going to do a tap takeover with Schmaltz on the Monday prior to the event starting with a 4-course dinner. Each course is paired with a beer. I'll use the beer in the dish, and then we'll pair the beer with the dish.
Have you worked the details out? Can you give us some?
We're going to do the first dinner is going to be a 4-course. Like I said, it's going to be a fried green tomato and crab sandwich with a slingshot lager hollandaise.
Nice.
And then the second course is going to be grits with braised mushrooms, and we're going to use their Hot Mana IPA for that. The third course is going to be a pork shoulder over mustard spetzel with leek confit, and that we braised the pork shoulder in the nut brown ale, and then we're going to do a beer masseau for the dessert.
Now, have you tried this, or is this something that you thought of when you had a couple?
Yeah, you know, the evil genius, we think of things, and then we, you know, sometimes I come up with things, and then I play around with them and they don't work. Sometimes I play with them and they do work, and this is one of the ones that worked. So it's a tiramisu made with you know, just the way you normally would, mascarpone and whipped cream and lady fingers, but instead of dipping them in coffee, we're going to dip them in an oatmeal stout.
Nice. Yeah. You know, we've had chefs on who've talked about cooking with beer, and many of them say it's a little tricky to cook with an IPA.
It is a little. Hops. The
hops
get super bitter when you reduce them. So that's really the big caveat with IPAs. And so I do a cheddar and ale soup fairly frequently at Hattie's, and I'll just pour the beer right in there when it's done so that there's no reduction of that beer whatsoever. And, I mean, IPAs I think are great, and I personally like them. I'm not a, you know, hop-crazed lunatic like some people are, but I lean that direction for sure.
Yeah.
And they're great, but you can't reduce them. So you have to use them fresh and straight, and when you apply heat to them, they they change pretty quickly.
All right. Well, once again, if people want to find out more about your restaurants, they go where?
To hattiesrestaurant.com is the website for the main restaurant downtown that's been there since 1938. And then the Chicken Shack, which is on Route 50, is hattieschickenshacksplural.com.
And that's where you can get
the gluten-free fried chicken.
All right,
and then, of course, we have the stand at the track once the track opens up.
And that's coming sooner than you think.
And catering. We do a ton of catering. So for any of your party needs, you know, from just a simple dinner party, high-end dinner party, or we do, you know, parties of 300-400 all the time.
So, beautiful.
Happy to take care of whoever needs us.
Chef Jasper Alexander, thanks for being here. Our call screener, Joe Makowitz, heard our banjo joke earlier, and so I'll leave with this. What do you call a banjo player who breaks up with his girlfriend?
Don't know.
Homeless. You see, thank you, Joe, for that one. Support comes from ArtSpark, dedicated to helping artists, musicians, and all creatives with the business of being an artist. Arts-spark.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts, handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com for upcoming events. And Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious, fee-only investment advisor of personal and retirement advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. It's been a long week. Okay, we're all done. Thanks to Jasper Alexander. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones were answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. Have a lovely weekend.